Well, good morning, everyone. It's a great blessing and joy and honor to be this morning with you and to be able to open the Word of God and learn what God has to teach us. I'm thankful for the opportunity that God has given us to be here and to be able to preach. I'm thankful for the heart that this church has for global mission. I've been meeting with Pastor Keith a few times, and it doesn't take too long to recognize that, yes, this church and him has a heart for a global mission. So thank you for the opportunity to have me this morning here and preach from God's Word. I would like to invite you guys to open the Bibles in Psalms that we already read, Psalm 67. There were two things that I noticed this morning. I came here and I asked Brother Keith, I said, hey, can I pray as I start? And he said, no, don't worry, I'm going to be praying for you while we start. And that's okay. One thing that I don't have to do. Second, the family pastor, he read my passage. So that's another thing. I'm not going to read the passage this morning, so I'm just going to be preaching. So that was that made it my job very easy. Thank you guys for really helping with that. So, okay, let's open our Bibles in Psalm 67. I'm going to be reading from ESV version. That's the version that I'm going to be using this morning. So let's see together. Before we get there, before we get to the Psalm and we read the Word of God, let me ask you this question. Have you ever stopped and take some time intentionally to think of God's blessings in your life? Or let's say, when was the last time that you just took some time and you start thinking of God's blessing in your life? And you know, you can list the blessings. I mean, you can start with salvation, with your health, your resources, friendship, influence, and all that. When was the last time that you did that? Thinking of how much God has blessed us. Now, the next question I want to ask you this morning is, what if those blessings that God have allowed to be in our life were not meant just for our comfort, but were meant to flow through us to others? What if the blessings that we have received are part of something much bigger? Part of God's global purpose to make His name known and worshipped among all nations. You know, Psalm 67 is a very brief psalm. It has only 7 verses, but it carries a powerful and far-reaching vision, a global vision deeply rooted in the heart of redemptive plan of God. In the heart of redemptive plan of God. May God be gracious on us and bless us. Make His name, His face shine upon us. Now, you know that this is a prayer that comes from the priestly blessing found in chapter 6 of the Numbers, the book of Numbers, but it reveals a profound truth about God's grace. God's grace. And that is that God's grace comes to His people, not for their comfort alone, but for His glory among all peoples. God graciously blesses His covenant people so that His saving power might be known to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. Not because we are worthy, but because He is sovereign, He is merciful, and faithful to His promises. Faithful to His promises. Now, you know, if you read the Bible, you can clearly see that from Genesis to Revelation, Bible tells one great story. God is calling people from every tribe, language, and nation to bring glory to His name. God is calling people from every nation to bring glory to His name. Now, today, as I said, we are going to read Psalms 67, and these psalms really reveals at least 3 powerful truths that we are going to be explaining this morning. So let's open Psalm 67 and hear God's heart for the nations. The first thing that we will see here is God's heart for the nation. We are going to read the verse 1 and 2 that says this: May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Among all nations. Psalm 67 begins with a prayer. and the prayer not for just for personal blessings, but for missional blessings. The psalmist echoes, as I said before, the priestly blessings in Numbers 6, asking God to be gracious to his people, to bless them, and to shine his face upon his people. But notice the purpose of the request. Look at what it says. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. That's the purpose why God's people are asking God to bless them. And this shows something essential about God's heart, brother and sister. He blesses his people that the nations may know his name and may worship his name. And we see God's heart through the scripture when it comes to the nations. You know, this is not a new idea introduced in our psalm this morning. It is not a new idea. It's part of something much bigger story that stretches from the beginning, from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Right after the sin entered the world, God gave the first promise of the redemption. In this verse, often called Proto-Evangelium, which means the first gospel that we see in the Bible, God foretells the coming of the Savior, the seed of a woman, who will crush the serpent's head. From the very beginning, God's plan has been redemptive and global. Redemptive and global. In Genesis, a few chapters later, in chapter 12, 1 through 3, he calls Abraham not just to bless him personally, but with a global purpose. This is what it says. I will bless you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And guess what is this blessing? It's Jesus. Because through Abraham would come Jesus, and through Jesus, God will bless all the nations. These blessings was never meant to end with Abraham. It was meant to flow through him, through his descendants, to the nations. And this is exactly what Psalm 67 is capturing here. God blesses, God's blessing to his people are meant to be channels and not containers. God's blessings in our life are meant to be channels, not containers. We are blessed with the gospel so that we can bless the nations with the gospel. But how is this come to be fulfilled? God's promises ultimately find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Why? Because he is the promised seed in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Jesus is the promise. The one who crushed the serpent's head by defeating sin and death on the cross of Calvary. He is the true offspring of Abraham. You can read that in Galatians 3, verse 16, if you want it for your reference. Through whom God is blessing all the nations. You know, God's heart beats for the nations. And I'm standing here, and I have experienced that myself. Many years ago, I have seen this true firsthand in my own life. I was born in Albania in a Muslim family. By age 13, I was attending the mosque regularly and praying every day and sincerely trying to find God. But over time, I began to understand that everything that we were doing, it was just rituals, empty and disconnected. No one could explain me how could I truly be close to God. So eventually, I stopped going in the mosque. It was summer 1999 when friends of mine invited me to a children program. I did not know what it was. I had no idea what it was. I was curious, and I went. And it turned out, as I said, to be a vocation Bible school hosted by a Christian church, the only Christian church in a city of 30,000 people, planted by a missionary that came in 1994 to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in my own city. So what struck me the most wasn't just the program. It was the joy and the kindness of the people there. Those people, I could see they have something different that I did not have, that I wanted to have. For the first time, I heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that He is God, that He lived a perfect life, that He died on the cross, and He rose again. And as I kept going, the message of the gospel was becoming clearer and clearer. It's becoming clearer and clearer. And as I kept going, I had more questions. I realized that I was a sinner and I needed a savior, and that only Jesus could save me. When I was 14 years old, I asked one of the leaders of that children meeting, how could I give my life to Jesus Christ? He prayed with me. He shared the gospel again, and he prayed with me. And at that day, I trusted in Jesus like Lord and Savior of my life. And since then, I have been following him. And today, my wife and I are serving as missionaries, planting churches among the unreached people group of Albania and the Balkans, sharing the same gospel that God allowed me to hear. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ that I heard from the people that planted the church in my own town. And this is what Psalm 67 is all about. Someone else's obedience, generosity, law, and love made it possible for me to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was blessed through them, and now I get to bless others. That's God's heart, brother and sister. His grace flows to us so it can flow through us. His grace flows to us, his sons and daughters, so that it can flow through us. Through Christ, we receive God's ultimate blessing, the salvation, adoption, and the indwelling spirit, not to keep it for ourselves, but to pass it on. To pass it on to others. God's people have been always chosen for the glory of God and for the sake of others. God has called us into his family for his glory and for the sake of others. So let me ask you this question. Do you see your salvation and blessings as part of something much bigger? Not just for your comfort alone, but for global mission. Are we praying regularly for the unreached people groups in the world? Those who still haven't heard the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Keith mentioned the numbers there. How big is the need around the world? And are we leveraging our time, our influence, sources, and gifts in a way that reflect God's heart for the nation? Brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches us very clear. God's heart beats for the nations. And if we are his sons and daughters, our hearts must beat for the nations too. His heart beats for the nations. Psalm 67 isn't just a prayer for blessing, but it's also a call to participate in global purpose. Our lives were meant to be part of a great story, his great story, the story of redemption of all people. So God's heart beats for the nations, and if we are his sons and daughters, our hearts must beat for the nations as well. That's God's heart. But the thing is, like, okay, what is the goal of mission? As a church planter and as a missionary, people ask me often, what is the mission? What is the goal? I mean, why do you do what you do? And I think the scripture, and especially our psalm this morning, really clarify the purpose of the mission. Worship is the ultimate goal of missions. Worship is the ultimate goal of missions. Let's read together verses 3 through 5 that says this. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Let the nation be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Now, if we see the point, first point shows us the purpose of the blessing, which is to make God's salvation known to the nations. Now, point two reveals the goal of the mission, which is worship. The cry of Psalm 67 moves from bless us to let the nation be glad. Lord, bless us, but then now we see let the nations be glad. Let the nations worship and glorify you. And this is the heartbeat of mission. Not just the people with no information about God, but they would worship him with joy. That's why we do mission. We do mission because we want to see Jesus Christ not just heard as a name, but being worshipped where he is not worshipped yet. That's the goal of mission. It's worship. We want Christ to be worshipped. A passion and urgency, we see this in these verses. The psalmist repeats the line four times, "Let the peoples praise you." In three verses, it repeats that verse three times. The repetition shows passion and urgency at the same time. It reveals God's desire not just for individual worship, but for global praise. That's God's heart. And it is not a call to joy, to joyful worship among the nations, because look at what it says in verse 4. It adds, "Let the nation be glad and sing for joy." I think this is a great reminder for each one of us that the heart of mission is not driven by guilt, fear, or feeling pressure to do just a little more for God. No, brother and sister. Instead, it is an invitation to join something deeply joyful. The gladness of the nations as they come to know and worship the God who rules with justice and guide the nations with love. Worship is the heartbeat of mission. Verse 3 through 5 gives us, all of us, a stunning picture of a world rejoicing, not unwillingly, but gladly, finding their highest joy in praising their Creator and their Redeemer. The goal of mission is not just conversion. It is worship, brother and sister. It is worship. God is worthy of worship of all peoples, not just some peoples, but all peoples. You know, John Piper, one of my favorite authors, says this expression: mission exists because worship does not. Mission exists because worship does not. The main reason why we do mission is because Christ is not worshipped in some parts of the world today. So the only reason that the mission exists is because worship is not existing in some parts of the world. And God deserves worship from all the nations. So the worship exists because mission does not. He says this one. He says, worship is both the goal of mission and the fuel of mission. Worship must be our goal. That's what we want to see. When we plant churches, when we go as missionaries, when we do our work around the world, the goal should be worship. Our goal would be, we want to see Christ being worshipped and glorified. But at the same time, is the fuel. That should be our own motivation. Why do we want to go to the nations? Because we want to worship God with our life and make him known and worshipped among the nations. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the only one that makes the true worship possible. Jesus is the only one that makes true worship possible. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman that the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship in spirit and truth. Something possible only through Christ. Something possible only through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the joyful King who rules with justice. Because Jesus is the joyful King who rules with justice. The one the nations are invited to rejoice in. He draws people from every background, not to burden them with a religion, but to bring them into the joy of knowing him. Our message to the world is not a message of shame, but is an invitation to gladness in Christ. If worship then is the goal of mission, I believe the mission must begin with our own worship. The mission must begin with our own worship. Do our lives reflect a deep joy in God? Is our worship contagious? The kind that makes others want to know the God we praise? Is our worship contagious? Brother and sister, let your worship lead to witness. Let your worship lead to witness. Invite others into the joy that you have found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Cultivate a heart of worship through time in the Word, in prayer, in praise, so that your life naturally will point others to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, the first verses We see God's heart. We see the goal of mission. The question is like, do we have any responsibility in all this? And we will read the next verses that talks about our responsibility. And faithfulness is our responsibility to the global mission. Faithfulness is our responsibility to global mission. Psalm 67, verse 6 and 7 says this. The earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the end of the earth fear him. Now we begin verse 1 with a prayer for blessing. God bless us. That was a request that we see in the verse 1. Now in Psalm 67, these verses ends with a confidence in the blessing. You see what it says? It says a declaration that God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Now, verse 6 and 7 shows that faithfulness means first recognizing that God is the source of all increase. God is the source. And then trusting that he blesses us with a purpose, not without a purpose, but he blesses us with a purpose. And third is living in such a way that his blessings lead others to know and worship him. Blessings are not the finish line. They are the starting point when it comes to God's mission. And our role is to live faithfully in response so that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Verse 6 and 7 reminds us that we have a role, and our role, it really matters. God's global mission is carried forward through the faithfulness of his people, through you and through me. God has entrusted his people his mission. He has entrusted us his mission. We are blessed to be a blessing. And the phrase there, fear him, in verse 7, it points to a deep respect, honor, and praise toward our God. Our lives and witness are meant to lead others to that posture before God. God spreads his glory, brother and sister, through his people as they pray, as they go, as they give, as they live missionally everyday life. As they live missionally everyday life. And Jesus makes our mission even clearer in the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, we read that says, go and make disciples of all nations. And Jesus has the authority. And with his authority, he have entrusted his church, us, his mission. His church is his ecclesia, a group of people set aside to be sanctified for the glory of God. This is us. It's not the building. It's not the institution, the organization. It is us, brothers and sisters, the ones that he have redeemed, he have saved and brought into his family. And with his authority, he is entrusting his mission to each one of us. In the book of Acts, we read the early church did exactly the same. They take the blessing of the gospel and spread it outward. Faithful, everyday witness. Faithfulness does not mean that all of us will do the same thing. But it means that all of us have something to do when it comes to global mission. Faithfulness doesn't mean that all of you will go to serve in Albania, my own country. But it means that all of us have a responsibility when it comes to global mission. So, what does it look faithfulness in our life? Like, let's see it a little more practical. It might look obedience. Are you willing to put the yes in the table and let God decide the map? Are we willing to say yes to God and let him decide the map? Whatever he asks. Prayer. Are we praying regularly for the nations, the missionaries, the unreached people group, the persecuted churches around the world? We all know what's happening in Nigeria. Are we praying for the unreached and the persecuted churches around the world? And it might mean going. Are we open to going whether across the street or across the globe? Wherever God calls us. Psalm 67 It's a reminder that the global mission is not just for some special people, some pastors, or some people that have finished seminaries, but it's for everyone. Psalm 67 shows otherwise, that God uses ordinary faithfulness to accomplish extraordinary things for His glory. Every prayer, every giving, every act of obedience can echo to the ends of the earth. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed with a purpose. We are blessed with a purpose. God's blessings in our life, spiritual or material, are never meant to end with us. They are given so that His way may be known and His salvation experienced by all people. We are to be channels and not containers. Worship is the goal of mission. God's goal is not just conversion, it's worship. He is gathering joyful worshipers from around the world, and from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Our mission is not a burden, but it is an invitation, brother and sister, to call others into a joy of knowing and praising and worshiping and glorifying Jesus Christ. Faithfulness is our responsibility. God chooses to accomplish His goal, global purpose, through His people, through me and through you. Your prayers, your giving, your obedience, your witness matters. You may not be called to go everywhere, but you are called to live on mission wherever God has placed you and to be involved in global mission. Let me give you just 3 action steps. First, pray for the nations. I know you know this. This is not new. We all know that we need to pray for the nations. But can we be very intentional when it comes to praying for the nations? Ask, how can God use your sources? I mean, let me say this. If you cannot pray every day, can you just set aside 1 time per week and specifically pray for the unreached people groups around the world? Let your prayer life reflect God's heart for all peoples. God wants us to pray. It was 2014 when I visited for the first time a missionary couple. They were serving with us in Albania and they were living in Efrata, Pennsylvania, and we came to visit them. And the reason for coming to visit them was because we were doing church planting there. We just have started the youth ministry. They helped us. We built a good relationship. And then invited us to come in Efrata, Pennsylvania to visit them. So we came for 1 month and a half. At that time, we did not have kids. It was just me and my wife. And we had so much fun with them. One day they said, well, our grandmother lives in New Jersey. So would you like to meet her as well? And we said, well, we are here for you guys. I mean, we want to get to know you and get to know your family. So that would be wonderful if we can do that. So one day we jump in the car. We drive to New Jersey. It was about 2 hours or 3 hours drive, I think, something like that. It was a long time ago. And we go to New Jersey and we go to their grandmother's house, which was 85 years old, close to 90 years old, I think. And when we enter in the door, after she greeted our friends, then when she was looking toward me and Ida, she was in tears. And I was like, oh, okay, why? I mean, I did not know why. And then I kind of asked Dave, why your grandmother is crying? And he said, we can ask her. And he asked her, grandmother, why are you crying? And she said, when Albania was closed for the gospel many, many, many years ago, we used to pray for Albania every day. We used to pray for Albania every day. And now seeing Tony and Ida being here in our house, coming from Albania, the country that was one of the most closed countries for the gospel, God have answered my prayers. And I'm so touched that God have answered my prayers. I mean, brother and sister, God can use prayers, and He wants us to pray for the nations. So please, don't pray every day. Pray every day, but if you cannot pray every day, just pick a day or a week where you can pray for the nations. And let me encourage you to leverage your blessings. Ask God, how can you use your resources, time, skills, relationship to advance His kingdom? And lastly, leave missionary where you are. Live missionary life where you are. Be intentional in your daily life to reflect Christ at work, school, in your neighborhood, start gospel conversation and invite others into the joy that you have found in Jesus Christ. Live missionary where you are. You have no idea how God is going to use the people that you're going to share the gospel. Maybe you will never be able to go to the nations, but God is going to use some of those people that he's going to save because you share the gospel with them to go to the nations. So that's a way how you can be involved in global mission as well. So be intentionally to live missionally and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the joy that we have found in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and all the blessing that you have given us. And again, not because we deserve them, but because you are good and faithful. And Father, this morning my prayer is that you will open our eyes to see the needs around us, in our neighborhoods, and across the world. Father, give us hearts that beat for the nation like yours does. And help us care deeply about those who never heard the gospel, those who never heard the name of Jesus Christ around the world. Lord, I pray that you will use us in our prayers, in our giving, in our conversations, and our everyday lives to point people to you. And Father, I pray that you will make us bold, joyful, and faithful to your mission. Give us hearts that beats for the nations, O Father, and lives that reflect your glory. Make us sowers of your gospel. People who pray boldly, worship passionately, and go courageously. Let our blessings not end with us, but flow through us, Father. May your ways be known on earth, and your salvation, your saving power, among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God, let all peoples praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.